From Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. Sunday Live on 91.3 FM Stereo. Sunday Live.
Welcome back, welcome back. Good to be in your company this morning, 0829913913. And yes, 0214423530. That's how you can reach us this morning. Wherever you are, hope you're well, safe and sound, and keeping it locked. Now, the festive season, we encourage many Cape Townians to be tourists in their own city by exploring our rich heritage. Obviously, with COVID-19, it has been a bit of a dampening season, but be that as it may, when restrictions are lifted, we should ensure that we maintain our own heritage by visiting our rich heritage and cultural diversity hotspots, especially to educate us on what the city has to boast and has to offer. So we continue our series whilst we look at various landmarks in Cape Town with a special focus on the history of Simonstown today. Joining us online is Brother Ibrahim Manuel, a historian to unpack this session. Brother Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam. Welcome to Sunday Live. Alhamdulillah, fantastic. How are you doing?
Hello?
Yes, you are live on air. How are you doing, sir?
Hello,
assalamu alaikum. Uncle Ibrahim, are you with us? Okay, doesn't seem like he's able to reach us. We'll try and get hold of him again, inshallah, just in a few moments or so. And yes, 0214423530 throughout the rest of the program. Also, you can send us a WhatsApp message, 0829913913 via WhatsApp, 47913 via SMS. And we look forward to hearing from you this morning. So yes, lots of history and heritage around Cape Town, and I'm sure many of us have lots of fond memories, whether it's in Simonstown, wherever it may be. I think it always has leaves a very important taste in our memories with regards to the history and heritage of our, particularly the Western Cape, Muslim history, non-Muslim history of fight against apartheid and the significance of the various landmarks. Brother Ibrahim, are you with us again? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad Sheikh.
Wa alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah, fantastic. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Wonderful. Well, Brother Ibrahim, Simonstown seems further up your alley. Tell us about your fondest memory in Simonstown.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. My name is Ibrahim Manuel, and I'm 72 years old from Simonstown. My family, my parents and my grandparents, we used to live in Telford Lane. We used to live in at least the Malay quarter of Simonstown. We used to live in Drosty Lane, Swat Lane, Quarry Road, Fires Lane, Riverside Road, and Waterfall Road.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, we grew up next to the mosque and the madrasa in Simonstown. And also the other thing of importance was most of the families, we were all living quite near all the main facilities. It was a 5-minute walk to the mosque, to the madrasa, to the churches, to the schools, to the municipality facilities, to the shops, the train and the bus stations, the naval dock, the fishing harbor,
mm-hmm.
the boat jetty, the trek fishing beaches in Simonstown. And I spent most of my time after school at the harbor or at the fishing jetty. My two brothers joined the fishing industry in Simonstown.
Mm-hmm.
And while growing up, we all attended the madrasa in Simonstown. But one of my weak points was I was unable to complete my madrasa classes because I had very difficulty grasping the Arabic translation.
Mm-hmm.
So I never completed madrasa.
Mm-hmm.
I'm unable to make basha or recite from the Quran or read Arabic, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And my my fondest memories was when I grew up in Simonstown, we were all one big happy family. We had the Christian families, we had the Cape Malay families, but further down at the station we had the Luyolo families, the Kosa families from, they now living in Jubuletu.
Mm.
So growing up was for me one of the best places was Simonstown because of all the facilities was, like as I mentioned, 5 minutes walk away. And talking about the fishermen and the and my part, I only joined Governor Johnson fishing industry after school.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started to work on the trawlers in Cape Town, but I did not want to work on the trawlers. My longing was to work on the big ships,
mm-hmm.
Traveling overseas, and I had the opportunity to join the cable restorer in Simonstown. The cable restorer was a boat that fixes the telephone cables between South Africa and the farmers.
Mm.
I worked there for a while, and then I was transferred to the big ships.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was one of my greatest achievements by joining the big ship traveling the world.
Mm-hmm.
So for the next 20 years, I was actually on the wild side of life.
Mm-hmm.
With all due respect to my families, I know some of them are not going to be happy, but that was part of my life.
Uh-huh.
On the wild side of life. It was only during that period of my life on the ship, I was actually, and I think this is where Allah interceded for me, whereby I could link and could meet with our ancestors. But unknowingly, I did not know at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was in 1974. When I was given a Cape Herald,
mm-hmm.
and on the Cape Herald was a date 1967, and in the Cape Herald there was an article of a person directly linked to and connected to Indonesia, and I was still very young,
mm-hmm.
and I cut out the newspaper clipping and I put it aside. And for the next 20 years, that actually did not bother me. I left it one side. And what also happened was at a very young age,
mm-hmm.
in Simonstown, I was given introduction to a yellow guitar by my father, to Emmanuel. But that was also a big blank, a total blank.
Mm-hmm.
I was 4 years old when I was granted this opportunity, and it was a total blank for the next 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was only after 50 years when I, and that is also where Allah interceded in the year 2014. It was the first time in my life that I picked up a Quran written by Yusuf Ali. And it was the 29th of July 2014 when I started reading in the month of Ramadan, reading the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And that part was where I started getting dreams. I get messages, and that was all interceded by Allah, because there's no way I am able to put this puzzle together of finding our ancestors in Indonesia. That is impossible. There is no way. I'm not a historian. I'm not a researcher. I'm not an academic. I have absolute nothing, no knowledge of anything about our ancestors that were banished and exiled in Afghanistan, and they are buried at the Kramat in Afghanistan. So for me, it was something of significance, whereby I would like our listeners to learn from our experiences. How is it possible that a fisherman and later a merchant seaman could travel for 20 years on a ship, not knowing anything about his religion, with all due respect? And in 1997, I met with this person that was in the Cape Herald, and he gave me a crash course on the protocol of engaging with diplomats in Indonesia. And that was a 6 months crash course in Afghanistan, and at the same time there was a researcher from Indonesia by the name of Ariyadi Suhada. He was invited by the South African Malayo Cultural Society. And I met with him, and we worked together in Afghanistan for a couple of months, and he left. And this is also with the direct divine intervention and intercession of Allah, whereby I was unable to travel to Indonesia in 1998 because I had no money. So I joined a ship in the USA for 6 months. And I worked in the USA for 6 months. I was transferred to Namibia. I worked there for another 3 months, and then I was transferred to Muscle Bay, PE, and Durban. So I completed my 12 months on the ship, so I had enough money. Now, this is where something of significance came in. I just jumped on a plane with eight other South Africans, and we landed in Jakarta. And on the airport was the South African diplomat and Ariyadi, the translator. And we spent another month in Jakarta visiting 20 top universities with the official letter from the South African embassy. The person's name, the diplomat, was Linford Andrews. And when we went to the top 20 universities, The academics was unable to translate the Sambawanese. They were able to translate the Malayu. They were able to translate the Arabic, which was written without harabs and out dots, etc. And we were not able to get any information from the academics. And the South African embassy, Linford Andrews, published an article in the Jakarta Post in August 1999, appealing for help, for anybody to assist me finding our family. A lot of the people in Jakarta came forward, but none of them were able to translate the Sambawanese. And from there, we went to Sambawa, and we were planning, but Allah had other plans. We and the translator Ariyadi, we fell asleep on the bus. And we were unable to fulfill our plans. And when we arrived in Sumbawa, we visited the village of Kalman village. They were unable to help us. We visited the village of Alas. They were unable to help us. We visited the village of Taliwa, and they were unable to help us. But this is also direct divine intervention, whereby Allah directed us to go to the village of Pamang Gong. And this is where the Yellow Kitab is the connection of why is it called the Yellow Kitab. Now, in Sambawa, unknown to me, is a house called the Yellow House. And it's got the yellow door, and it's got a information on a asal, of the family that's buried in Simistan, which was unknown to me, and we found that the inscriptions in the Yellow Kitab matches the Asal in the Yellow House, and that is where we discovered that this is the information that this family, the Jiakwaza family, has been waiting for 260 years. That wanting to know what happened to Ismail and what happened to Abdul Qadir. And I stayed there for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And within that 4 months, we received our ancestors' ijazah. In other words, the original, authentic, genuine official documentation.
Mm-hmm.
I only stayed for 4 months. My aim was to stay for 6 months, but my visa expired. I tried to get my visa renewed in Singapore, and it was refused. And I came back to Sumbawa, and from there I came back home. And the instructions I got from the family is I must go directly to the Dutch embassy in Cape Town and inform them of what it is that I have. And with the process of engaging with the Consul General in Strand Street at the Dutch embassy, they actually were shocked when I gave them the information, and they mentioned that they will send qualified people from Amsterdam to come and view the ijazah, and they sent Paul Faber from the Turkman Museum, and he found that with his own research that this is the truth, and they put together a exhibition in 2001, whereby we had our ancestors' history displayed in the Turkman Museum. But with all due respect, but prior to that,
mm-hmm.
the African embassy, with the diplomats, Mr. Linford Andrews, and the ambassador, Mr. Sidney Kubeka, they organized a international exhibition in Jakarta, whereby the South African Melayu Cultural Society with about 60 other people in Rati, people with the State Malay Choirs, the people with the history, the museum in Simistan, the Heritage Museum, they were all invited. Now, for me, that was also a direct divine intervention, because how is it possible that the South African embassy in Jakarta and the Arts and Culture Department here in Cape Town will spend about 5 million, it could be more, it could be less, but I'm just making a guess. Why would they spend about 5 million rands for an exhibition at the Archive National Museum in Jakarta? And we took most of our ancestors, especially the collection at the Heritage Museum, and they put a Rati bank on the plane,
mm-hmm.
with all the stores and all the facilities, all the posters and photographs, and we took all our ijazah, etc. And we were there for a whole month,
mm-hmm.
living in a 5-star hotel. We had breakfast, lunch, and supper. So that is where I think that the history of our ancestors was on TV. It was in the Jakarta Post. It was in another Indonesian newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called the Gatra or something. And we came back, and then we said the Truppen Museum, they organized the exhibition in Holland.
Mm.
And that exhibition was transferred to Pretoria. And it was there for 3 years.
Hmm.
I came back to Cape Town, but unfortunately, because of politics, certain, I'm not going to mention the names, certain institutions were very reluctant to put our ancestors displayed up in Cape Town. But what they didn't know, and this is also where Allah's direct divine intervention, we had exhibitions at the Cape Town Convention Center, at the Civic Center, at the Isiko Museum in the Boer Kaap, and it at most, and this is also thanks to the Voice of the Cape, the Radio 786, whereby the Cape Family Research Forum were invited to host exhibitions at most of the venues for the next, I think it was the next 8 years.
Mm.
So there's a lot of people who know exactly what I'm talking about. But what I would like to leave my conclusion is for the families who have handwritten kitabs. There are hundreds in the Boerkaap, but people are keeping silent.
Mm-hmm.
There are hundreds in Constantia, Wynberg, all over the Cape Town, Strand. But for some reason, we would like to encourage those families to come forward and share the kitabs, because it's very important.
Absolutely.
You know where you come from.
Without a doubt. But Ibrahim, shukran so much for giving us that travel history all the way from Simonstown to Samboa out there in the in the middle of Asia somewhere. Shukran so much, inshallah. We hope people will respond to your plea, and we wish you all the best in this journey. Shukran, and take care. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 45 after 7.